Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 3. "Listen to the trees talking in their sleep," she whispered as he lifted her to the ground. "What nice dreams they must have." L.M. Montgomery, Anne of Green Gables. For 2 weeks, Layla and her father didn't leave the house. The doctor treated and bandaged her arm and prescribed antibiotics when the infection came. It spread and seethed, and soon her flesh was hot with fever. She lived a fortnight in a half-life of dreams and sweat, while Elliot lived in a world of guilt and fear. Over the years, in his blackest hours, Elliot had bargained with the devils in his mind to return his wife, even at the cost of taking his daughter. Now he looked set to get the bitter half of his wish. He barely slept and ate little. His time was devoted to the care of his daughter, as though he could atone for all the terrible things he'd thought. The doctor returned to rebandage the wound and monitor her fever. Jacob visited. Neighbours with part compassion, part curiosity, delivered pots and trays with pies and stews that her father could not get past her lips. She burned and writhed and shivered, and he felt powerless. And then, at last, it began to subside. The doctor noted that her temperature was falling and her pulse steadying, but he saw the carrion hollows of Elliot's eyes and prescribed him rest and sleeping pills, which Elliot declined. Eventually, it was Penny Jane, the postwoman, who intervened. Elliot had answered the door in his pyjamas, the thin fabric hanging off his frame with the impossibility of acute weight loss in a matter of days. His eyes were red and raw and his skin sagging. He slumped against the doorframe until Penny Jane softly brought them both inside. "She's been shrieking in her sleep," he said through thickly gummed lips. "She sees something terrible, or thinks she does. It's so bad that she screams at me to make it stop, but I... she calls for a mother. I don't know how." Penny Jane smothered him in her arms and stroked his hair like he was a child, rather than the man of 44 that he was. "Shh, now, there, love, it's just dreams. She'll be round soon, Doc said. You'll see. Then you can put this whole business behind you. Although..." She bit her lip and lowered her face to his, peering into his watery eyes. "Seems to me you'll frighten her half to death if she sees this mug. Look at you." She cocked an eyebrow. "How about a bath?" Whether he saw sense or whether he just wasn't up to Penny Jane in full swing, he nodded his head and allowed himself to be traipsed up the stairs and sent into a skin-reddening hot bath. "How long was I out? An hour? God, I feel like hell." He sat down at the kitchen table and took the weight of his head in his hands. Around him, Penny Jane bustled and busied and fussed. When he spoke, it was to the placemat in front of him.
"I dreamt of her, Pen. Violet. I saw her face and she was asking me something, but I couldn't hear what it was. And then I was being dragged away through the woods until I couldn't see her at all."
Penny Jane stared hard at his face until hers finally softened. "Oh, love." She bent over the table. "It can't be easy. Littleham must have brought back some memories of what happened, but it's all so long ago." She patted him on the back and straightened up. "Can't go getting lost in the past, eh? Doesn't help for nothing now, does it?"
"I know, it felt urgent, you know? Like I was supposed to do something. Like I was back there and I should have done something."
Penny Jane put the pots down on the stove with a resolute clatter. She spun round, holding the oven mitts like a weapon. "Now listen here, you. Doc said there was nothing that you could have done for Vi. Nothing at all. A natural way for her to go, that was, giving birth to that little joy machine of yours. We are where we are, and let's stick with that." Resigned and weary, Elliot mumbled a retreat and went to check on Layla. She was sleeping with a peace she had not known for days. Penny Jane came to join him. "See, little love is doing fine, and all the better for you. She's lucky to have a father that cares for her so." She squeezed his shoulder, then paused as she questioned whether or not to ask, "Do you know who that woman was? That one that was there that night?" Elliot shook his head.
"Jesus, Pen, I don't know."
He studied Layla's face and wondered how he could have let a stranger come into their home and do this to his daughter.
"I felt like I'd known her forever, and it was safe, you know? His forehead wrinkled, and he felt the guilt swell into his chest. It must sound crazy now. Penny Jane smothered a twitch on her lips and shuffled him from the living room, once more resuming the gentle clatter of busy-making to drown out the voices in his head. Layla was in darkness and falling. Around her, demons swirled in suffocating clouds, filling her lungs with stale, noxious air, drowning her from the inside. When she clawed at their faces, all she saw was the skin-dripping face of the stranger, the flesh melting from her skull as she mouthed, "Stop her," over and over. In the distance, bells sounded. Then it went quiet. Layla was walking through snow, the cold bit at her bare feet. Up ahead, a bird waited, its feathers as intensely black as the snow was white, its eyes staring placidly into her. It was leading her up a slope to where the ground's crest met the sky, to where she knew she must journey. Either side, trees lined her way. They were thin and brown and had no substance. She knew that if she could turn her head, they would leave only sparse impressions on the searing white blanket that surrounded them. But she couldn't control her eyes. Instead, they kept sliding away from where she wanted to look, making her stumble. Her vision juddered, and now the dream snow came up to her waist and she was wading through its thick, syrupy embrace. She couldn't keep her head upright. It bent over her body and swayed from side to side with every lurch. She wanted to run. Her legs felt numb. Her arms went limp. Her mind was screaming, but her body wouldn't help itself. She dragged one leaden leg to meet the other, then forward again with the next. As Layla took the next step, the ground opened in front of her. She tried to throw herself to one side, but gravity seemed to draw her into the sinkhole, and she felt the dizzying descent into nothingness. Over and over, everything flipped and spun until Layla couldn't tell where her body ended and air began. With sudden force, the hole in the ground spat her out onto barren ground. Layla saw she was at the foot of a tree. A dead tree. It smiled when it saw her looking. She clawed her way to her feet, but roots crept up around her ankles and bound her. With pained effort, she drew her heavy head to look at the tree. Its splintered, ragged arms were spread open, reaching to the air in vengeful lust. The twisted trunk arched its back as if the sky had tried to wrench it from the earth, leaving spirals of branches at its head and the underside of its ripped roots exposed. The gnarled face stared out at Layla. "Shall I tell you a secret?" it said. Big, dead eyes sparked and bled, and Layla knew unquestionably that the tree was no longer confined to the world of dreams, but that its roots stretched into reality. Its voice scraped at her skull. "This one will die for me." It whispered a name, and bells rang. End of chapter 3. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at @twisted_roots_agparker or @a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.